right back over here.
Everybody in Jerry out.
Don't put it too close to me.
See, they move, the frequency changes when this guy's moving.
Keep going right on around here.
Transporting Officer Gallus to the hospital. He gets struck with a brick in the leg.
Okay.
Chief, the chief is on Unit 1 in the office.
In the office.
Is there anything in there?
Things on.
Lieutenant Dan has that under control on Forrest. You know, with Lieutenant Dan, secure direct. You read me?
47 St. Joe. The unit 1. Fire 2, go. Tell anybody that's interested that they're having a field day on their cars over here. If they want to put anybody here, if they don't, they're not going to have much left. We can't guard them. They're walking by, smashing them, doing whatever they want.
Where is this location at?
It's a continuation to the east of the street they've got blocked off down here. I don't know what the name of it is.
Okay, 10-4. Is that the state cars or the others?
Negative, that's the locals, the local cars.
Okay, 10-4. I'll try to get the word to them.
That's South University and Elm. South University and Elm, okay.
10-4.
Just a moment. Two lieutenants just got in their car just moments before and are believed to be headed back towards headquarters on Washtenaw, but can be reached in their unit, I believe. Captain Hawkins.
That's 6.
You on the road?
Right, I'm at St. Joe Hospital right now. What do you got?
10-4, we needed a Polaroid down here. We requested one and we were turned down, and I'd like to send another man to the station to get that Polaroid here.
You got all the cameras we got? All the cameras we got are out, 18.
Clear.
6 to radio, I'll be out at St. Joe for a minute.
4-6.
Attention, vehicles parked at Church and Washington. A group of subjects have started breaking the windows out of these squad cars.
77. Church in Washington. Yeah, the intersection of the church in Washington.
I'm a solid unit for us.
United Church in Washington.
You got a what?
Huh? Wait,
there's still people.
Huh?
Are there still people?
Yeah. Yeah. They busted windows on one of them.
Really? Big car.
Radio, radio. Is there anyone in the DB at the present time that can respond to radio traffic?
Seven, we need a paddy wagon at Southview and Eastview right away. Paddy wagon at Southview and Eastview right away.
Paddy wagon, Southview.
Take a traffic communication, Sergeant Olmsted's in there.
Go ahead. 77.
7-7, go ahead.
You and Route 2, South, you and East 2.
Affirmative. We just got a report that they're smashing windows in the cars washing on Southview. Supposed to be police cars.
Any unit not on it?
We check the area, they've already left.
Inform.
Keep trying to get in contact with Lieutenant Woodard, Lieutenant Dan, find out their position, if they're okay.
Boy one.
Come to our position, if there's two down there.
Car 6.
Captain Zach?
Go ahead.
Huh? Ron Hill and Washington, I will look out for Dan and Woodruff.
Right, come down Forrest. If they have everything secure there, we'd like them at South U and East U.
10-4. My boys at East U and Willard.
Yeah. 17.
We're getting a big grouping again at Willard and Forrest. Willard and Forrest.
Willard and Forrest. It's going, I can see it going. This is right.
I don't want to come in too close to the carport in case of being stoned.
Okay, come around on Southview. Come in on South and Southview.
10-4.
AM 1600?
Is the camera usable in the lab?
Not for here, no.
Winters and Levance are reportedly at Polaroid plant.
Or is it usable at the rank 13?
A good Polaroid, yes.
A report on a crowd supposedly gathering in front of the President's house.
Right, Unit 1, we'll be dispersing that in a few minutes, okay?
Okay, fine.
On the
Dag, it's quite a group there, and they're regrouping the uniformed forces to move in on them again if they persist, okay?
Second, and try and clear our hearts and minds and decide that we're going to try and get something done and that we're not going to go out and play their game by just trying to bring nightsticks or something because they've got guns and bring guns because they've got bigger guns and on, unless, you know, like, that's your thing too. Maybe, and I put this out, and you can do with it as you like, all we can do is put on armbands and go out to that street tonight and sit down and say that this is our street and we're the people and we want no more to see the police abuse our rights than we want to see our brothers abuse their rights. That we want to see our brothers denigrate themselves and make themselves something less than human. Maybe that requires, I don't know what it requires, but maybe it requires us all going down to this medical meeting today and putting on the Red Cross or a White Cross and sitting there and trying to stop it. To stop it. Because that's the only way we can support those of us in jail. Those are the only way we can support those of us who are going to get hurt tonight. And Dig, if you don't care about your fellows, if you don't want to do anything but beat the shit out of a pig, and you don't care what happens to the cat next to you, you know, like, then it's all useless. You haven't done anything, and in the morning they will sweep you up because you're playing their game, and you can't win it that way. I may not really have too much to say, but I've been standing out in the crowd, and I appreciate one thing, that the people up here are willing to let people talk. At least that shows something. But it shows something else, too, in that once a majority of the people said something and apparently voiced an opinion, and yet many leaders who control the situation from this stand don't like that opinion. They ask for the people that are not directly involved to go home. Well, I'd like to correct that, because everybody standing here is involved. And in asking them to go home, what they'd like to do is to solidify the minority of the people, at least that's my opinion, to solidify a minority perhaps, so that they can bring together the groups and the factions, the political reasons that they'd like to dispel, whatever their cause is, so that they have a unified group. Well, I'd like to say this. The fact that they must accomplish their means by demanding a direct, violent confrontation rather than demanding just a confrontation, as some people have suggested, brings to mind things from the past where other small groups and minorities have not listened to a majority of the people when they've been willing to collect together and listen to them say, yes, we too may like a mall someday on South University. But by the same tokens that somebody stands and destroys a system, somebody else will come along in a future day and use the same methods to destroy the system that you've set up. Now I feel, although I'm not going to be on the street tonight because I don't live in the city of Ann Arbor, that I do have something to say about what will take place on the street tonight. And I'd like to say that as an individual, I feel my rights are being denied when a group thinks that it has to take enough strength to disrupt the safety and sanctity of the community. There are many individuals standing here which have the power and the persuasion to meet directly with officials and to get things established, done, are certified, but a lot of people can't wait. And it's not that they can't wait, it's just that they'd like to destroy the system because there's something to destroy.
Look, I think there's been a couple, misconceptions here. First of all, for this afternoon, the confrontation that was advocated was not a violent confrontation. It was that people go down to City Hall, present these demands to Harris, whoever the hell will show up, and non-violently sit there and do whatever you want. But tonight, we're to meet here at 9:30 and then decide what to do. And we decide that then, and we don't have to discuss this now.
About tonight, I'd like to say just one thing. Mobs are ugly, senseless things. Let the people decide. Don't let a mob decide.
There's 1,000 people out here now. It's more than showed up for the election strike, more than showed up against the war in Vietnam, more than showed up for any of the issues the radicals have been involved in. It's groovy. I want to say something about it. Now, CCNY, San Francisco State, all the city colleges, they rally, they confront the cops for such things as low-cost housing and open admissions. It's very ironic that out here in the U of M, we have rallied for a piece of asphalt. Now, we've got 500 miles around square of fields and forests, and we've rallied for a bunch of asphalt. Now, Ann Arbor is a pretty unusual community because most of you are pretty rich. I ain't. Now, I think that you all show up tonight, 1,000 or 2,000 of you, that I would like to announce that this is a rally for open admissions and low-cost housing. And if we don't do that, I would like the thousands of you to begin to think in those terms and to use this force, and you'll find a lot of support for your confrontations against the police. A lot better than asphalt.
Okay, I just got word. Somebody came back from the city hall down to the jail. They set the bail for the 21 people who've been charged with a felony as $1,500 per person cold cash, or $5,000 per person a surety.
A lot of bond money.
Listen, there's been some talk up here, and I don't know if you're hearing it out there, about showing up tonight to take the street for the people with baseball bats, with Molotov cocktails, bricks. No, they didn't. I was there. Now relax. Oh, screw off, kid. The point of this thing is, this is not a unified group. There are people here who do advocate bringing baseball bats, and all this, and all this kind of thing. I don't think that this is going to be a sound move. The point is, don't let yourself be railroaded by a few people who are going to seek violence. When you see it happening, get back, get away from it. I'm not talking about the pigs. I was there, I saw it. And if you're talking about violence, you haven't seen it. That is naive. They were not, they came in, the Board of Regents is another matter. There you can properly apply the word pig. Of course they advocate violence, and I think that's something more serious, that's something more significant, and it's something we should deal with. What we're dealing with now is an issue that's been blown up all the hell out of proportion because there's a group of people who are anxious to imitate Berkeley, and I do say imitate because this is not a people's movement. So listen, the point is, another one, is that there, like, this is not a unified... I know the people who are. I was on the street. So listen, now there's these people in the group who are not unified. There are people of all possible political persuasions here. Now what we're getting here is nothing but rhetoric. What you could do better, not that I expect you to do it, is turn to the person next to you. You've heard him exclaim when people talk. You know how he thinks. Now turn to the person next to you. If he doesn't agree with you, talk to him. Find out where he's at, and if you are afraid to do that, well, that's just too bad, but it's a better idea than trying to beat up on somebody.
My name is Rafe Ezekiel. I'm on the faculty here.
Only boasting as I identify myself.
Okay, can you hear me? I don't know where things are or where they're going. I want to talk about tonight, because I don't think anyone's going to have a chance to talk sensibly tonight. I don't know what happened last night between 8:30 and 12. I wasn't there. I got there at 12. If there are issues there, I didn't see it. Okay? I want to talk about tonight, though. What are you building?
Revolution.
Look, there are things that have to be done. That is true. That is true. There's a lot of people in this crowd and out of this crowd that have been doing things and will continue doing things. There are things that matter. Vietnam is there and it still matters. Detroit is still there. It still matters. There may be times when the kind of struggle you have to do may have to be very ugly. I think you judge those times one at a time, when they come up, in the here and the now. You don't look at a guy on the corner of South University and East University and say they're dropping napalm in Vietnam, because existentially they're different things. They have some connections, but not total connections. Okay? You gotta think. You gotta think tonight, and you gotta feel. And don't be led around. Have guts. Stand for yourself. Treat the guy next to you, the guy in front of you, the guy behind you, the way you want to be treated. What are you building? And for what goals? What energy will you use for which goals? Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, I'll try. Are you going to build a community of violence about a strip of asphalt?
Right
on! Right on! Now wait a second. Wait a second. Hold it.
When reason is afforded by persons, and then where the fuck are we?
Listen, man. I don't want all the power without any restraint to the majority vote of the people. Don't kid yourself. The majority of the people in this country were for the war in Vietnam until the Tet Offensive. Did that make them right? No. No, I want to live in a community that has systems, that has structures, that has organization. That's true, and I don't want to live in a community where today's anarchist is a guy I like because we come from similar backgrounds, and tomorrow's anarchist is a fascist anarchist. You think I'm a liberal fascist? I don't want a fascist anarchist taking my street the next day.
I don't know how many people there are in Ann Arbor. We are going to let the street people talk, I'm sorry. But I think there are over 100,000 people in Ann Arbor, and if 100,000 of those people wanted that street, what would happen? We can't give it to the whole 100,000. What I'd like to say is that on April 3rd in Hill Auditorium, I did a concert. And I talked about love and peace. And I came to this rally today to see it. But I see a lot of angry faces between... But does that go along with the love and the peace we talk about? I can't love anybody that beats anybody. That's what I'm trying to say.
Let her finish.
I will finish. I'm trying to say we all talk about love. We talk about it a lot. And then I see you looking at each other with these angry faces as though you were going to start it right now, beating each other. This doesn't fit. Somehow it doesn't fit. The 1,000 people that watched me in Hill Auditorium when I talked about love and peace didn't look at each other that way. They put their hands out to each other. They touched each other. They really touched with their minds. What atavistic level are you operating on? Remember, each one of us here thinks we have a mind way above average. I'll bet there's not a one of us in the crowd that doesn't think he has a mind a hell of a lot above average, right? What atavistic, savage, primitive level are you operating on? Is this your mind? Is this love? Is it love? Is it peace? I'm just asking. If more of us get hurt tonight, isn't that masochism? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? I don't want to see any more bloodshed. I love all of you. That's right, but we can't stop it from here. We can't stop the violence from here. Really? We can stop it by not defending ourselves against it. We can stop it by backing up. The more we retaliate, the more they retaliate, and there are more of them. Peace! Peace! How many of you believe in peace? Put your hands up, for God's sake!
Hands up for peace!
I mean it! Revolution!
Get it,
wait, let me finish. Look at this. The revolution is in your minds. Listen to the Beatles. You know who the Beatles are. The Beatles have told you the revolution's in your head. You can't change the system that fast, but you can change your head. We can function inside it. All power to the people.
I think it was some jive-ass dudes up here talking about what are we going to do when we get it, because somebody's going to take it away. They ain't going to take it away because we're going to keep it, and we're going to hold it.
Yeah.
She was up here talking about revolution was in our head or was in our heart or some dumb-ass place. Revolution is all over us. We was born with revolution on our mind, and we're going to get it.
Yeah.
She wasn't even in the goddamn streets last night. And that bitch back there, she was talking about we was throwing Molly cocktails and shit like that. What was we supposed to do? Stand up there and let them beat us over our damn ears with the fucking billy clubs and shit? That shit ain't gonna go. All power to the people.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, I am what you call a street people. And I'll tell you one thing. If they take that street away from me, man, are they gonna take me home? Hell no. Where am I gonna go? But I can't go on the street. No, but I went over to some of the businesses that were open the night that we were down there, and I asked them if we were taking away their business, if they weren't digging the scene. And they said, hell no, you're bringing a crowd into our place, man. I went to Discount Records and asked them if we had to pay for it, if they, you know, what we could do. And all they said is, man, take that bread and put it in a charity where it's needed. Revolutionize. Get this place together, man. Turn the hunkies on. Get it all down, baby, yeah!
Hey, there's a guy here just wants to make an announcement. One of the guys who got busted last night, something about keys or something.
Some guy down on East U and Hill Street got dragged out of his car. His car got left there, and it had the keys in it and everything. It's got a couple tickets on it now. I've taken it off the street, and I've got his keys. Does anybody know who he is so I can get him back? It's an old Cadillac, 57 or 58. I didn't see what they did to him. They just dragged him out of the car. That's all I saw. Nobody knows him?
I don't know. All right, as a graduate student of the University of Michigan and a faculty member of Eastern Michigan University, as a resident of Ann Arbor and a father, in this city, I have one crucial thing to say to everybody here, and that is this. Tonight, there's one thing that you can do, and that is that you must, all of you who are here today as I am, and curious, you must
watch the TV, man.
Quiet! Just one second. Those of you who like me, may I please speak? Young lady, may I please have my say? May I'm not a fascist.
Let the man speak.
All right, thank you. If you are like me, if you are curious and interested and care what happens, as I was today and I came here, I say to you that tonight, you do not go into that street. You do not go to watch. You stay home.
Hey, let's ask one thing before the people decide to march or whatever they're going to decide. I think that some of the people are going to be out on the street no matter what is decided here. But I think that the others that don't want to come and don't want to go or are afraid of getting hurt, stay home because there is going to be fighting if anybody goes in the street. And I think most of the students here will stay home and shouldn't come down to watch.
Look, the pigs fucked over us last night. This man want to stay home and dig his fucking TV. Let him. Okay, they beat us with the fucking clubs last night. Tonight, we have a baseball game. Bring your baseball bats. Don't bring no fucking balls.
Okay, look, I think we've rapped about this for a couple hours now. It's a group of people who want to go down to City Hall. It's a group of you who don't, or jail, whatever you want to do. There are police down there, so I'm just telling you that. The people who want to go down to City Hall now or to the jail, I suggest you form some sort of line. Try to stay in order or else you'll really be screwed up. Try to get together. The people who don't want to go down, please clear out the diag for now so people who want to go down can get organized.
Hi. Go down.
Before this whole rally started, there's a group of people from the Lower East Side put on a little theater. They lost a trumpet. They don't have much money, so they can't afford to lose trumpets. So if you see a trumpet, you know, roaming around, give it to the street theater or take it over to Canterbury House.
I hope you aren't forgetting one thing. When you got here earlier, you were trying to figure out how to get your brothers out of jail. Some man came here and said that's going to cost you like $50,000 in cash. 50 men, 1,500 bucks a man cash, was that right? I know that that's for the felonies and the misdemeanors of both of them. You go out on the street tonight, where are you going to get that money?
People!
You got 200 here!
We got money coming in from Detroit. We got money, we got money.
Do we get hire Watts out of jail?
Yeah! Yeah!
Monopoly after monopoly, owl lied on every one of $90 billion bills by bringing to the pyramid top in the United States of Heaven. Aye, aye, Sir Owl, oh, say, can you see in the dark you observe Minerva nerveless in Nirvana because Zeus rides reindeer through Bethlehem's blue sky. It's Buddha sits in Mary's belly, waving Kuan Yin's white hand at the Yangtze that Mao sees, tongue of Kali licking Krishna's soft blue lips. Chango holds Shiva's brick, Ouroboros eats the cobalt bomb, Parvati on Yod's perfumed knee cries aum, and Santa Barbara rejoices in the alleyways of Vrindavan. Goliath struck down by kidney stone, Golgotha's grove. All these wonders are crowded in the mind's eye. Superman and Batman race forward, Zarathustra on Coyote's ass. Lao Tse disappearing at the gate, God mocks God, Job sits bewildered that Ramakrishna is Satan, and Bodhidharma forgot to bring nothing. break. I have till quarter after now is what I got. I can read more if anybody wants or needs.
Last time I was in Detroit, I went again and benefited Johnson there, but it's a big time in the club. And read then a poem called Wichita Wednesday Scripture, which is a continuation of that same description of the conflict of the United States. If Patsy Baldwin got a bullet in his brain, how would he? If President Johnson got a bullet in his brain, that's karma. If Richard Digest got a bullet in his brain, would he be smarter? March 68, page 54, report from Vietnam. The foe is hurting. Well, the visual picture of 1965 when I previously visited Vietnam has been reversed. The Allies are winning and the enemy is being hurt, wrote the distinguished military editor of the New York Times, unquote. The dinosaur moves slowly over Chicago. Arrived by the United Airlines just in time, in all the world. Anger in the back of the plane cabin. Anger at the Reader's Digest. Anson Baldwin's ally? Anson Baldwin, the enemy? Arguing with the schizophrenic of Copeland. The bullet in the brain, Mr. Baldwin suggests more bullets in the brain to solve the Vietnam problem. Anson Baldwin's a military genius. Yet we were born in Salt Lake, and Jimmy Patrick said, flowers die, and flowers rise, red-petaled on the field. Anger! Red-petaled flower in my body. Detroit lake from a mile above, chemical muddy. Streams of gray waste fogging the surface to the center. More than half the lake, discolored, metallic. Cancerous reproduction in the house flat. Rows of beatboxes, DNA molecular patterns. Microscopic reticulation topped with television antennae. And the horizon edged with gray gas clouds from east to west, unmoved by wind. They fucked up the planet. Hanson Baldwin fucked up the planet all by himself. The military gas cloud, December 26, 27, 28, 1967, in the New York Times. Purely military considerations, he said on TV. So Governor LaSalle said the press day couldn't be peaceful till election time, as Baldwin nodded in agreement. A bunch of fat and thin schizophrenic running the planet's short ways. Shit, violence, bullets in the brain, unavailable. We're in it too deep to pull out. Ready for an orgasm, Mr. Baldwin? Yes! Ready for an orgasm, Mr. Baldwin. Give him all the orgasms they want. Give him orgasms. Give Hanson Baldwin the rock orgasms. Give the New York Times, give the Reader's Digest their old orgasm back. It's a gold crisis, not enough orgasms to go around. I take care of other people's business, said the old man sleeping next to seat. Wallet and pen in his inside pocket. Green tie, black suit, boots. Ever since the world began, gold is the measure of solidarity. Golden light over Iowa. Silver cloud floor. Sky roof, deep blue. Arguments in the back of the plane cabin, raised by western sunset, brightness from the center of the solar system. Neil born in Salt Lake, died in San Miguel, met in Denver, loved in Denver. Down in Denver, down in Denver, all I did was die. They came for the air. Airplane, pain in the neck. Through heaven, a heavy roar. Vapor fell to the sun moving behind Utah's valley wall. Give heaven an orgasm. Give Krishna an orgasm. Give your orgasm to the clouds. Great Salt Lake. Fitzpatrick stopped a lot in New York and Utah. His nervous frame wrecked with lead on pain. Farewell, Sergio, in shining heaven, bodiless. And being silent. Brainwash, cried Romney, the governor of Fallujah. probably would be more than 80 feet is back. Mine is fragmented. Whatever you can remember from last year's Time magazine, this year's sunset or gray cloud mass over Nebraska. Leroy Jones with deep scar of brown skin that left temple nearby. John McNeil emerging from Grand Central Station with 6 inches in his forehead, pushed through plate glass by the police's press car, bloody. Deeper into the gray clouds, there must be invisible farms, invisible farmers walking up and down the rolling cloud hill. A whole another world. America, Vietnam. The Martians have holes in their heads like poor sanctuaries. And if dolphin-like Saturnian tones are invisible, then their ecstatic dragons, irrelevant to the gold supply, will murder what they did on many bison. Soon the buffalo dances a jet plane over Nebraska. Bring me back again, I need. Gobble, gobble, says Sanders. And the turkeys, hormones, white meat, drumsticks, poison the glands of suburban kitties Thanksgiving. On their bicycles with poison glands and DDT livers, hallucinating tiny Vietnams over the evening. Cloud rips, old orgasms in the west, Nebraska steps turning broken cloud clocks. Sun that flames nose, is that Missouri breaking the plains apart? Council bluffs and great black gun. Oh, rocking already? Snow and granite cracks. Gray crags, handsome Baldwin covered with snowflakes, red oxide in air and earth, sunset flowering clouds, anger, brokers and doubters, Nahum and mace, dogs, earth ripples, river snakes, iron horse tracks, car path bins, Wasatch peak snow, north crags, springtime white, wall over desert lake brightness. Salt Lake streets at dusk flowing with electric gold. Beautiful, merely looking right. Neil was born in Canada. Continuation of Lone Pole. Another universe, Whitman, Carpenter, Yadamaker saying, we are leaves of the tree, saying, we are drops of water running through the ocean, through the fish's mouth, and we shall stand in flesh in paradise. With the version of the 19th century, Borax, 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 crystal lights upon the hills like fairy castles, might be in heaven, Omi Mahavi. Borax, 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 the dinosaur lounges through the fronds under the Pleiades. The delicate filaments of fiber light, the nerves between cities. Borax, 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 near the Belmar Hotel on the desert. This is my enemy, my machine, the chatter jabber of your mind, making Borax, 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 Borax. Spinal column thought for turkey, boiled, wind, and headlight. A child peeks out of the curved glass of the moving night where a red taillight beats its time to the Santa Fe rain, rolls over the rain, moon, hollow, a crescent moon. Mr. Cummings and Mr. Miles both dead. Where the soldiers sit and talk about the Connecticut buffalo, and the charity of the Masonic, cigarettes and alcohol, and the 181st Airborne. They'd be better off having a peaceful pipe of oil or sipping a necessity in a cafe, getting high by the green fig tree, staring at the ocean side or the blue straits of your shoulder. The tricks are what makes business. You got a college education. It ain't what you do. It ain't what you got. It's what you do with your college education, son. They're all actors. Winning in Barstow, the engine room. I don't want to be an entertainer. I want to be a comedy writer, he said, his hand stained with the enemy's blood. The engine humming, all other silent, lost in thought. And the soldier talked all about his troubles with his red hair, and how he took his girl home, he said, when she squinted her eyes at him and said, I want to go with you. And how he drove her to her house, and said, I'm giving you your last chance. And how she leaned her head on his shoulder and said, anywhere you go with me. And how he took off her pants, and she said that he should take off his pants, and he wouldn't take off his pants. And how they have to love play like everybody, and then he'd drive her home. But when he's out of the bar, anybody look at his girl, he looked in the eye and snapped, and he figured it says, what do you look like after? And when he's out of the bar alone, anybody staring for his love. So I sat and listened, moving my beard until I looked at him and saw his ugly. That was quite beautiful, that was ugly. John lying here in my cabinet, in complete darkness, microphone on chest, looking out at the airfields passing by. Stars, you in the blackness outside the modern railroad window double to reflect passing the gas. Stars, dim, white, thick-friendly. Matter battle behind the ears. 6 years ago. The old talk you go stale. Forlorn. Always forlorn. Fabian Peter by the marble balustrade in the giant darkness, watching. Boyish drums beating most of his shadow across the 30, or 69, hopeless 69, the same black bastard, pierced by emotion, melancholy for the stars, political planets whirling around the sun, consciousness expansion, earth girdled by telegraph wires, Edward may never dream to television again, no better way to die. Fourth speed along the horizon, railroad chug vibrating through thighs, clear your throat, lie there in the dark, cough with cancer, close your eyes. I didn't even dream back into Hackaby, and woke, leaky numb, reluctant to face my own language, so came back to it, pushing the jeans, passing my hobby, evening to eat, memories of
decide what 30,000, 40,000 students are going to have, how their lives are going to be affected by their decisions.
This is obvious.
Don't you think that's obvious? Don't you think that's obvious?
Well, the question may be obvious, but I think the answer is equally obvious. It goes up to this instant, that right was given to them many years ago in the Constitution of the state.
But, you know, but you recognize that the regents have the right to delegate their authority to anybody they please, and they do allow the situation. They delegate a tremendous amount of authority.
Well, they back to everybody. SGC exists by authority of the regents.
Well,
that's what the regents think, you know. If the regents didn't like it, we'd still run a student government here anyway, you know. We'd still be a thorn in their side. But, you know, the point is, this isn't something we can sit back and relax about and say, yeah, students ought to be involved in decision-making and then, you know, go on our merry way. It's something that's got to be done. It's got to be done very soon, you know, if this place is to survive.
Okay, granting that premise, then the next problem is the mechanical problem, it seems to me.
Well, let's grant the premise, then we'll solve the mechanical problem.
Do you grant the premise? He just did. Okay.
I said if we grant the premise.
Oh, you said granting
will
the
you
premise.
What reason do you have for not granting the premise?
Yeah, I want to hear what you have to say.
I want to see what premise I'm granting first.
Well, all right, we just laid it out for you, that premise.
The premise that I would grant, frankly, is that in order to function the way I think we have to function these days in the future, there's going to have to be a systematic role for students in decision making. I don't find anything wrong about that.
Why don't you go to Fleming and tell him that?
I think he said it as well.
Well, what he says and what he does are two different things. He's proven that. I mean, he's proven that.
Well, we all
now.
Say and what we do are two different.
Oh, that's
things.
Not true. Oh, well, you admit that? That's calling yourself a hypocrite.
Well, I think everybody is occasionally.
Look, Ken says that obscenity laws are wrong, and he proves it every time he comes.
No,
out.
I'm not going to talk about obscenity. I don't know about obscenity.
I didn't bring it up. But something like that. What do you think of Fleming's speech the other night over at Hillel, for instance, on the wharf? What do you think of that? What do you think of his guest gesture?
Well, do you mean what do I think about the war?
No. What do you think of what he did?
Well, I don't think it was a gesture. I think the man was saying what he thought.
Well, if he said what he felt, why doesn't he do all in his power to get war research off this campus, for instance? Why do you feel he doesn't do that?
I am under the impression that war research on this campus is not so much, frankly.
Well, I think, what is it, $30 million this year or something like that?
Oh,
we rank very high.
Yeah. The point is, I mean, even, if, you know, talking, not even talking in terms of logistics, there are projects going on here that, you know, that are, you know, Defense Department contracts, you know, and they're helping in
the
war in Vietnam.
Well, no, that's the fact that the money comes from the Defense Department, make it war reserves.
Oh, I'd say, well, I mean, the specific projects we all know about, probably Michigan, the infrared thing.
You know, there's money that comes from the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Rockefellers didn't make their money in the cleanest way to then, you know.
That's certainly true, too.
Does that make that indefensible?
Yes.
Well, you
everything
know,
to do with Rockefeller.
I'm kind of hung up on research in general because I see the extent to which it detracts from undergraduate education. You know,
specifically war research, Defense Department,
you know, through the tenure system. That's why students have got to get involved in the tenure system. Is what the faculty use for criteria in deciding whether our professor is worthy of tenure or not.
What do you think, though, a professor is hard for? Now, I've always been in the illusion, maybe the illusion, that a professor is really hard for two things. He's hard to teach and he's hard to do research. And the difference between us and a junior college is that ours are hard to do research too.
Okay, I'll grant you that, but I'll also say...
Now, if he's going to be evaluated, shouldn't he be evaluated for both parts of his job?
You know, the question is, you know and I know that there are people out there, you know, who put me to sleep in lectures and put everybody else to sleep in lectures, you know.
You put some people to sleep too, Mr.
Oh, I know I do. Like a lot of people.
Are you dropping off now?
Not really, but.
A lot of people don't even listen to me, you know. But like, the point is that you know, there are plenty of lousy teachers out here that are doing good research, okay, and who get tenure. There are very few good teachers out there that don't do research, you know, and that hurts me, you know. See, when I have to get taught by, yeah.
How long is this good teacher who doesn't do research is going to be good?
Well, you know, the point is, there's a difference between turning out a lot of pedantic, you know.
No. Let's talk about good teachers.
All right. When I'm talking,
can a good
talk about Tom Mayer?
Could a good teacher be a good teacher if he doesn't do a bit of research?
Yes.
I doubt it. I doubt it very much.
Keeping up with one's field does not necessitate doing research.
Publishing papers.
I happen to be in a field which is very unpopular, which is foreign language. If I don't do research, I'm not a professor either. But if I don't do constant research on new books that come out from South America, from the speech.
That doesn't mean you have to publish things.
Oh, wait a minute. This is a discipline. This is something else. We'll go on.
Yeah.
If I don't do research, I'll be stuck on the guys I studied about 10 years ago, and I will be still teaching those. I wouldn't learn anything about the future.
Okay.
Now, publishing means studying the new guys, getting something out of it, and proving that I've done it. And it's also a discipline for me to keep ahead.
Okay, I there's no question in my mind that a good teacher is one who keeps up in his field, you know. The question is the only conceivable way that a teacher in this university keeps up with his field by publishing papers.
I think that a person who teaches and does not do research will not get promoted, right?
Yes.
No, that'll get fired. Look at Tom Mayer or Julian Dell. Isn't that true? Well, what were the reasons that were cited, like, for getting
there's something else to think about, you know, there's a certain...
Well, what I'm saying is not true, is that it's not true that a person who is a good teacher, and I mean a good teacher, I don't mean somebody who just meets his classes, and who is not a productive scholar, will not get promoted. That's absurd. But he is, after all, I must insist, he is hired. He wouldn't be at a university if he weren't expected to do it.
Okay,
so if you're not going to do one, you better do the other.
I admit that there are two interests here, but I'm also saying that there's a tremendous reliance upon one side of that. There's too much reliance upon the research aspect and not enough upon the teaching aspect. You know, the other point is that there's a certain conflict of interest involved in those things too. The teacher who's a good teacher who's got kids lined up at his door all afternoon for his office hours is the guy who isn't going to be doing as much research. You know, it's very clear. To be a good teacher, putting the time into teaching is going to sometimes cut down on someone's research, you know.
Yeah, but there's a balance. A good teacher has to know the balance between how much time to put into his research and how much time
there's no question about that.
We have to put a balance on everything we do. Between having fun and between working. That's always the time. The point is that a man that is a good teacher sometimes, or that keeps everybody awake, is because he can speak well, or he has a good personality.
We can talk about what makes a good teacher.
I had a chemistry teacher, a guy who worked in the element, who discovered two or three new elements. He was a drafting teacher, a brilliant man. You can cut on your thing.
Okay, all right, it's not a character. Okay, but what makes a good teacher, okay? Is something that students are best able to decide. Whether or not a professor can communicate to me, what he's trying to teach is one of my basic criteria for whether he's a good teacher or not. Some teachers are harder than others. Some are easier. Some people can be so dull as to not get across their point. I think you'll agree with me to this. We really need more creative teachers on the undergraduate level. My impression is that the creative teachers get forced out, and the good researchers get drawn in. The big names, the people who publish, And I understand that faculty like prestige, that's one of their big
as
things.
As strange as it may seem, faculty like to teach. I think this is odd. In spite of everything, they do.
1 in 10.
Oh, come on. Come on. I can say with great self-assurance that I am really an extremely good teacher. And the reason I'm a good teacher is not over a minute of it. And I think this is true of most people. Now, sure, you can point to horrible examples. If you want to play horrible examples, I can play that game, too.
Oh, I can
you
play
know.
That for hours.
Yeah. But if you're going to talk on the average, which is the way you're talking, you just got to look at it both ways. It's just true that you've got to admit that there's more than the simple, here's the dirty old research over here and the holy teacher over here. It's just not that way.
Oh, I understand that. I'm not painting it in black and white. I'm saying that in order to equalize, what's going on here, we have to have student involvement because their perspective, the perspective of can this man communicate to me, is he a good teacher, is someone who's class, it's easier for me to learn in, I feel I learn more in it. The difference between a good teacher and a bad teacher for me is absolutely remarkable. And a bad teacher, I can go through and get the same kind of grade, it'll be very painful for me to do so, and I'll walk out of that class having really retained very little in the way of concrete knowledge. A good teacher, I can remember things that he was saying in class, 3 years later, and I can.
And that's another point. The one thing that troubles me about the whole teaching profession is that it's not really the short-term reaction. Important. We really ought to have 5 years worth of reminiscence about this teacher. I know the guys that I thought were just real great, in the classrooms when I was a student. I'd turn in the exam, and that'd be the last I ever thought about that person. And yet, some of the ones that I didn't think were so hot at the moment, I came to appreciate.
Sure, students aren't as transient as faculty like to think.
At least they don't disappear from the face of the earth when they stop being students.
There's no reason why some graduate students can't be on tenure committees that have been here for 5 years or 6 or 7 years. I still remember a lot about faculty that I had when I was a freshman here. It was 4 years ago.
Sure.
And I think that,
What's your department?
I'm going to be a GS degree.
Are you? Oh, well, I just wondered if it was in psychology by any chance, because in psychology, at least we used to, I guess we still do, we have a reminiscence by the senior class every year, where they go back and recall over the 4-year period.
I've been reasonably lucky in the psychology, about the only department that I've had good thing in, I think. I don't know what that says, but
it doesn't say they're lousy researchers.
I don't know.
What do you think the kind of, how much research does someone like teach you military science over at North Hall do?
That's a painful question.
It's a loaded question.
Well, it's not really a loaded question because it comes down to, there has to be an answer to it somewhere.
Well, those guys are...
They're increasing the body of knowledge.
They are not hired to do exactly what we're hired to do.
Yeah, what are they hired to do? They're hired to teach people the implements of war, aren't they? Isn't that true? Isn't that adding to American imperialism? Do you think that's true?
Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
You don't think it's adding to American imperialism?
I refuse comment.
Why? Why do you refuse comment?
You must have
because she's writing down things that
I said. Don't write down what you
say. Say anything you want off the record.
Come on, really, seriously.
I must say,
I think the whole ROTC issue is a kind of a non-academic issue, really.
It's happening here on this campus right now.
Well, I think that's a, believe me, that's an old historical accident.
Are you worried about the expansion, the imperialism, or...
I certainly am.
Well, the guy who studies business.
Oh, that's certainly true.
I agree.
This is something...
How about the guy who studies law?
I know quite a few people study law.
Or international.
Exactly, spreading American imperialism.
And then when are you going to stop?
Hardly against it.
But you know, the sole purpose of American military is to advance the imperialistic, foreign policy of the United States.
Don't you think that's true?
Very clear. It's certainly not defensive.
Can you defend the military being okay?
Well, I'm really an ancient character, and I remember when we were kind of hot and bothered about some things that we're not hot and bothered about anymore. And at that time, everybody felt military, which is great.
Yeah. All right.
Depends on how old you are.
Okay. Well, being how old you are, aren't you bothered at all about the military presence on this campus at all?
Well, I think it's a little inappropriate in the sense that I think it is a political and governmental issue which doesn't have anything at least very striking to do with academic.
So why is it on campus?
Well, I don't think football has much to do with the academic either.
Well, football is not exactly.
It isn't
football.
Now, believe me, there is no more rabid football fan on this campus than I.
There's a little difference.
Well, if they set up a department of football, I don't think I'd like it very much.
Athletic department.
And it seems to me we have to leave the opportunity for people to do what they want and to take what they want in the sense of the activities that they want to pursue. I guess what I'm saying is that I could live with this as a non-academic affair.
As long as the university was certain.
Just like I can live with football or karate or anything else.
Could you agree that having ROTC is a non-credit subject?
No.
So those people who chose to do it.
I personally would be comfortable with that.
With no university subsidy, certainly.
No.
And no use of
putting it on a will run, perhaps.
But,
I think it would be all right to have that if the university...
Now, that's a very private opinion.
When the university were to set up...
Don't you have the duty, the moral obligation to try and force your private opinion, duty of position? Don't you have that duty?
Well, not in my official capacity.
And don't you think other people,
you do it
faculty members, feel that way too, actually? And
oh,
that you could probably
give me the power
them.
And I will.
Do what?
Don't you think faculty members feel the same way?
These guys who are studying this question, I don't think they're just doing this just for a lark. I think they're really thinking about it. I'm not going to prejudge.
Jeannie, I'm willing to work with that arrangement if the university will also set up a program in guerrilla warfare.
Guerrilla warfare? What would you think of that? Something to count. Something we had right in the same hall as North Hall. Says something teaching Che Guevara.
Extracurricular.
This is an extracurricular. ROTC is an extracurricular. What would
you talk about?
Course in revolution. They had it for all of.
Oh, everybody read about that.
You kind of sidestepped a question I asked a little while ago, and I really want to get your response to it. Do you think, the premise we were talking about a little while ago, the students should be involved? In every level and almost every area of university decision making, they should be involved to the extent that they have real significant power. Do you think that's a reasonable premise?
I think the premise that students should be involved in decision making on a representative, regular basis.
Okay, there are 40,000 students and maybe 2,000 faculty members. Oh, so representative is going to be about 8 to 1.
That's not what I meant by representative, my friend. What I meant was that we have to have a regular way, a self-perpetuating way of introducing this into decision making. Now, I'm just not going to stand still forever for every Tom, Dick, and Harry who says, I am now representing the students being recognized as such. I don't think they do. Any more than I can stand up or anybody else can stand up and say, I represent this and that. I don't. It's going to have to be built into the institution. That's the only solution.
Okay, but you're going to work as an individual for pulling students, particularly in literary college, into decision making. You know, with not just more than just advisory roles, but real roles. You know, all the way up the line.
Well, I certainly will, as it's appropriate. But I don't.
We ought to enlarge the so-called thing called student. Robin Fleming rattles off statistics like Robert McNamara talks about Q ratios. This is a lot of bullshit, man. Student is a pretty large thing. This is a community. And you got to talk about a community. Second thing we have to do is go down to that city hall. We have to tell that mayor, look, man, you got a lot of bread to put into one-way streets, a lot of pretty things downtown. We got news for you. We need some space up here. We need some space. Now, people didn't check a brick through Discount Records because it was a hot night. Discount Records, just like this city, takes money out of these people. You gotta put some political swing into this thing. We got to go down to that city hall. We got to tell that mayor that these people here are not just a bunch of silly little kids that are passing through. We're people, we got political rights, we're getting our heads together, and we got some demands. There's no reason why they can't make them all, if the people want. There are a lot of things that are happening in this country because people want it to happen, not because a bunch of bald-headed businessmen, a bunch of mayors, a bunch of people like Robert Fleming say, sorry, fellas, we can't do it. You can do it if you want to. The third thing is, this man stood up here from Mississippi and he said, cool it. Now I'm telling you, I was down in Mississippi too. And those damn people down there ain't cooling it, Mississippi. Just the same things people in Boston, and people in Detroit, and people in Berkeley, and people in Seattle. People ain't cooling it, goddamn. This is our country, and we gotta move. All of us, black and white, rich and poor, in the streets, tonight, in our city too. And we gotta be there.
Okay, look it. Before we go down there, someone wants to talk on the medical thing. There's people setting up things for the medical relief tonight. If people listen to this, if you're going to get busted tonight and you're going to get beat over the head, you're going to want to know how to get to the fucking hospital. So listen to this guy.
Okay. 3 days ago, I was in Berkeley. Berkeley's unbelievably heavy. And I was getting a little bit closer to that now. It's not that close yet, but it may be tonight. It's foolish to have the first yes or no vote. The people who want to be on the streets are going to be out in the streets tonight. And there's going to be another conflict. The probability is that there's going to be a 10 o'clock curfew imposed in Ann Arbor. I don't know what the news on this is now. Okay, so possibilities are that people meet at the Diag at 9:30 in protest of the curfew. You're obviously breaking the law if you remain out past the curfew. Things can be organized from here in terms of marches up and down the street. The fact is they're going to be fighting in the streets tonight. Okay, medical corps. I don't know a lot of details about medical corps, but they had really... Okay, well first... All right, let me say something about street fighting tactics. Last night the pigs were really effective in breaking up the crowd. There were like 5 different fronts at one time and they eventually dispersed. People, when you run from a place where you can get back again with a lot of people. Don't run from a place where you're going to be crowded in. Like there were maybe 300 people kind of closed in the ugly last night. They couldn't move around. Their forces were lost. Watch where you're running. Try and get to another big front and keep 1 or 2 big fronts if you're fighting. All right, medical corps stuff. Power to the people.
All right, look it. I think first going to speak on the medical thing now. I think it's a good idea we should meet here in the Diag tonight at 9:30. And the people who want to go down now...
after these people have spoken.
My name is Don Childs. I just completed my third year of medical school.